Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us, great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. Well, this week we're going to be starting a new series called The Faith of Abraham. We're going to be studying what the faith of Abraham looks like, what it produced in his life. You know, Abraham is considered to be the father of our faith. He sets an example unto us in Scripture of how we are to walk and how we are to have faith as Abraham did. You know, Scripture says that it was by faith that Abraham was declared righteous. So let's learn what the faith of Abraham looked like, what the faith of Abraham produced in his life. How did Abraham live as a man because of his faith? So the kind of the bottom line question to this as we study the faith of Abraham is faith all that is needed? Is that all Abraham had was faith? So we're going to be starting off here in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is considered the faith chapter. It's kind of like the Hall of Fame of faith. The chapter goes through and gives us examples of people in Scripture who had faith, who we are to learn from, and what it means for us to have that faith in our lives. So the portion we're reading today is just a small portion from Hebrews chapter 11 and isn't even all the Scriptures that deals with the faith of Abraham, but it's what we're going to be talking about this week. We will get into more of it as we progress through this series. So Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. So the first thing we see here in the very first scripture, when Hebrews talks about the faith of Abraham, it says, by faith, when Abraham was called, he obeyed. So because Abraham believed and expected to receive what God called him to do, he obeyed. The calling of Abraham was for him to leave the land in which he was at. And he was promised that he was going to inherit this other land, this land of Canaan, and that his seed was going to be as the sand, as numerous as the sand, and as numerous as the stars in the sky. And we will dive more into that later, okay? But he is promised this promise. And in order for him to receive this promise, Abraham had to leave where he was at. Abraham never would have received the promise. His seed never would have become as numerous as the sand or as numerous as the stars in the sky had he not left his land and went to where he was called. So he had to obey. His faith produced in him an action. It produced in him to do what he was told to do. So when we think about him being our example, our faith should produce in us an action. Because we have faith in God, we should hear God and we should do what God has commanded us to do. We should be obedient. Our obedience comes as a result of our faith. If we make our obedience anything other than that, then we are messing up. We are slipping away and we are trying to obtain something that we cannot. Our obedience should not be marked or motivated by a desire to earn His grace or to earn His forgiveness or His mercy. His mercy and His grace and His forgiveness is a free gift unto us. But obedience should follow because of our faith. We are forgiven because of our faith and because we believe in Yeshua as a Messiah and that by His blood, there is forgiveness of sins. That is how we obtain mercy and grace. So our faith in Yeshua cleanses us and justifies us, but then our faith should also produce obedience. Faith produced obedience in Abraham. Now, the thing I want to talk about this week is the faith in Abraham and the obedience that it produced in him was for him to leave his land and to come and live in a foreign land as a stranger, waiting for an inheritance that he did not see in his lifetime. In fact, he would not see for some hundreds of years. The generations after him would actually see the inheritance, the promise that was given unto Abraham. So we, as people who are called by God, we have been called by Yahweh. When we put our belief in Yeshua, He's actually calling every person out there. It's to those who hear the call, and by faith they receive the call, and then they are obedient to come out. Abraham was called out of his land. We are called out of this world. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. This is where Scripture actually speaks of Yahweh calling Abraham out of his land. And Yahweh said to Abram, "Go forth from your land and from your kin and from your father's house to the land which I will show you." Abraham was called out of the land in which he was familiar with, with the land that he knew, and was called to a land that was a strange land unto him, to where he would be a stranger. We, before we knew Yeshua, we were friends of this world. We were a part of this world. We lived in harmony and at peace with the ways of this world. But now we have been called out of this world. So just as Abram was called out of the land that he knew, the land of his family, the land of his father's house, we are called out of this world, out of this lifestyle that we knew, that we were comfortable with, to a different land. So spiritually, we are called to live different. But just as Abraham did not receive the inheritance right away, we do not receive the full inheritance right away. We are looking forward to our future inheritance. And that future inheritance is when we will enter into the gates of the new Jerusalem. That is our goal. That is where we're going. So just as Abraham was a stranger in a strange land while he lived there, we who have been called out of this world are currently a stranger in this world. That is what we have been called to do. And so if we're going to possess the faith of Abraham, we have to be willing to hear the call to be a stranger in a foreign land, to be a stranger in this world, to leave behind our former life, to embrace a new life, and embracing that new life, it makes us a stranger in this land. Let's look at Acts chapter 7 and verse 2. And he said, "Hear me, brothers and fathers. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran, and said to him, 'Leave your country and your relatives, and come into the land that I will show you.' Then he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. From there, after his father died, God had him move to this country in which you are now living. But he gave him no inheritance in it, not even a foot of ground. And he promised that he would give it to him as a possession and to his seed after him, even when he had no child." Abraham could not physically see with his eyes the inheritance that was promised unto him. We cannot physically see with our eyes the promise that is promised unto us. Our eyes cannot see the New Jerusalem. We can read about the New Jerusalem, but we have to have faith to believe that what we're reading is going to happen. We have to expect in that future hope and glory. And if we have that expectation and that faith in the thing that we cannot see with our eyes, because that is what faith is. It's believing in something that we cannot see. And because he believed that he was going to receive this inheritance that he could not see with his eyes, he was obedient and was willing to live as a stranger in a foreign land. If we are willing to believe and have that faith and that future promise that is coming, that faith should produce in us a willingness and a desire to be a stranger in this land. It should give us the desire and the willingness to be a stranger and to live as a stranger. Genesis chapter 14 and verse 13. Then a fugitive came and told Abram, the Hebrew. Now he was dwelling by the oaks of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Anir, and these were in a covenant with Abram. The thing I want to point out in the scripture is, it says, then a fugitive came and told Abram the Hebrew. This is the first time that we see in scripture the word Hebrew used. The people in the land called Abraham a Hebrew. The word Hebrew means to be someone from the other side of the river. Or you could say one who's a stranger in the land. So when Abraham left his father's house and he crossed over the Jordan River, he became a Hebrew. He became a stranger in a foreign land. Think about it. He crossed over the Jordan River, the same river in which John the Baptist baptized people, the same river in which Yeshua was baptized in. So when we as believers put our belief in Yeshua, we leave our former life behind, just as Abraham left the land of his father. And as he crossed over that river, as we are baptized in water, which signifies that we're dying to our old man, and as we come out of that water, it's signifying that we are being raised by the power of the resurrection of Yeshua to walk in newness of life. So now we have crossed over the river. Now, we have left this world, and now we have become a stranger in the land. Now, we have become a Hebrew. And let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul, by keeping your conduct excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good works, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. So this is Peter talking to us as believers. And what does he call us? Strangers, exiles. We are strangers, or we are aliens in this world, as some versions say. And as strangers in this world, what are we called to do? To abstain from the fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. The desires of our flesh wage war against our spirit man. Our flesh's desire is to destroy us. Our flesh's desire is to be conformed unto this world. Our flesh has no desire whatsoever to live as an alien or a stranger in this world. You know what will make you a stranger unto this world? Which will make you different? Which will make you an alien in this world? By being a person who does not serve their flesh, but instead serves God by walking in obedience to his word, by walking in obedience to his commands and his law. When we walk in obedience to his law, it sets us apart from this world. Walking in obedience to his law will make you a stranger in this world. You will not be a stranger in this world if you're walking according to your flesh. And your flesh is at war against his law. Your flesh does not want to submit itself to the law of God. But that's what water baptism is about. When we're submersed in that water, it is signifying and saying that we have died to that old man, that man that serves the flesh, that is at war against God's law. And now we're raised to walk as a new man, a man resurrected in the power of Yeshua, now who has died to the desires and the lust of the flesh, and is now a servant unto his righteousness, that is now a servant unto his law. And now we are free from serving our flesh. And now we are free to serve his righteousness, to walk in obedience to his law. You are a servant to whomever you obey. Freedom in God is not a freedom to do whatever we want to do. Freedom in God is freedom to walk in his righteousness. It is freedom to walk in obedience to his word. It is no longer being bound by the desires of our flesh. So you are the servant to whomever you obey. So if you obey your flesh, then you are serving your flesh. You are still a slave unto your flesh. But if you are obeying his law, now you are a servant unto his righteousness, in which comes blessing and joy and peace. And what is verse 12? What does he instruct us to do? To conduct ourselves excellently among the Gentiles, that they may, what, see your good works. What is our good works? Our good works is us walking in obedience to his law. When we walk in obedience to his law, that is our good works. And they see that. And that is a light unto this dark world. Yeshua even says it. Let them see your good works. Let them see you walking in obedience to God's word, to loving him how he wants to be loved, and loving people how he wants us to love people. Not loving people how our flesh desires to love people, but loving them according to his law. When we do it according to his law, it will set us apart from this world. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. So John instructs us here, do not love the world nor the things of the world. So we're called to be a stranger, an alien amongst this world. And part of that is for us not to love the world nor the things of the world. Because if you love the world, then the love of the Father is not in you. If you love the Father, then you cannot love the world. So think about it this way. If you have faith in the Father, if you have faith in Yahweh, you will not love the world nor the things of the world. If you say you have faith in him, yet you love the world, the question is, do you really have faith? Is your faith really alive? Do you have the same faith as Abraham? Abraham believed God, so he left the land of his fathers. He did not love the land of his fathers to the point that he would not obey God. We cannot love this world. We have to be as Abraham. We have to have the faith of Abraham, that we're willing to leave behind the things of this world and the love of this world, to be a stranger in this world. For the things of this world is what? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the three areas in which Yeshua was tempted in the wilderness. And he overcame those temptations in the wilderness. And he is our high priest. And he can sympathize with us. He knows what we're going through. He knows what it's like to be tempted in those areas. So we can call upon him. We can reach out to him, and he will help us to overcome the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Those things are not from the Father. His desire is not for us to walk in the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the pride of life. Those are all things that come from the world. So if you're walking in the lust of the flesh or in the lust of the eyes or in the pride of life, then you are not embracing the Father, but you are embracing the world. You are loving the things of the world instead of loving the Father. You are walking in conformity to this world. You are embracing this world instead of embracing the Father and being a stranger and an alien in this world. And his law directs us and instructs us and helps us and guides us on how we can avoid the lust of the flesh. How can we avoid the lust of the eyes and the pride of life? In fact, those three things are at war with his law. When we struggle with keeping his law and we fight against obeying his law, it is going to be because of one of those three things. It's going to be either because of the lust of the flesh, or the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. And as John says, this world is passing away and all that is in it. So you're living as a stranger in a land that is passing away. Why love and embrace that which is passing away? And those who love it and desire it and go after it and live by the lust of this world, therefore living contrary to God's law and not obeying his law, but instead serving their flesh, to those they will pass away. But to those who do the will of God will abide forever. So we're living as a stranger in this land, looking with an expectation of the thing that we cannot see, but by faith we know we have it, and we will abide there forever. Now let's look at Genesis chapter 26 and verse 1. This is Yahweh speaking unto Isaac. And this is what God speaks of Abraham and how Abraham lived his life while as a stranger in the land of Canaan. And this is how we should live our lives as a stranger in this world. So Genesis chapter 26 and verse 1. Now there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. So Isaac went to Gerar, to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And Yahweh appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and to your seed I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. And I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and I will give your seed all these lands, and by your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. So he's passing his blessing on to Isaac. Okay? And listen to why he is doing this in verse 5. Because Abraham listened to my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So Abraham lived a lifestyle of obedience unto Yahweh. Abraham's faith did not produce a one-time obedience. It wasn't that his faith caused him to obey Yahweh one time and leaving his father's house to come and live as a stranger in the land in which his seed would inherit. But his faith produced in Abraham a lifestyle, a life of Abraham listening to the voice of Yahweh, keeping his charge and his commandments and his laws. Abraham was obedient to the laws of God. That is what the faith of Abraham produced. The faith in Abraham caused Abraham to be obedient to God's law. So as he lived in a strange land, as a stranger, he was obedient to God's law. He lived as a stranger. Not only was he a stranger, but he lived as a stranger. He did not live as they lived. Remember, the reason Abraham doesn't inherit the land right away and his seed has to wait 400 years to inherit the land is because the wickedness of the people of the land of Canaan had not become full yet. They were given 400 years to repent of their wickedness, but they did not. So they were walking in wickedness. They were walking in the lust of their eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. That's how they were living. That's how they were walking, according to their flesh, instead of according to God's law. But Abraham, while living in the land with them, he did not walk according to the lust of his flesh or the lust of his eyes or the pride of life. He didn't serve his flesh. Instead, he served God. He walked in obedience to God's law. So that is what we are to mimic. That is what we have been called to imitate. That is the faith of Abraham. And that is how we are to walk. One who's while living in a wicked land, filled with people serving their flesh, we live as a stranger and we do not serve our flesh, but instead we walk in obedience to God's law. Well, hallelujah. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now and shalom, y'all. Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.